Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, it was just a few weeks ago that we were lamenting that Mike Pence decided not to join the 2012 Republican presidential field, and we're still feeling the absence from that field. But we found out today, to just about no one's surprise, that he will in fact be seeking higher office, and that's the office of governor of Indiana, which may be kind of a domino effect here should Mitch Daniels decide to run for president. But Mike Pence at least seeking an executive job, just not the one we were hoping.
Yeah, I think a good way of putting this, Greg, is that Indiana's win is America's loss. I'm sure that he probably has all the tools to be a very good governor. Indiana is in better shape than most states, particularly in terms of its budget circumstances. I know that Daniels has been pushing very hard for education reform. He zeroed out funding for Planned Parenthood, and so there's a good record for Pence to build upon. I realize this is not the right tone for the good martini, but I just kind of observe, you look at that first debate we're going to have tonight with Pawlenty, Ron Paul, Rick Santorum, Herman Cain, and I believe Pat Paulson is that fifth one, right? You know, not exactly the biggest names, not exactly the most exciting names. And I kind of feel like you look at each contender, and even the folks who aren't in, the Mitt Romney, Sarah Palin, Mike Huckabee, Daniels, each one of them has some segment of the party who they appeal to and some other part of the Republican Party that's really not that enthusiastic about them. I look at all this and I think, you know, Mike Pence would have been a guy who I think would have had enough credibility with almost every group, the social conservatives, the fiscal conservatives, national security hawks. I think across the spectrum, he was that kind of guy, which is one of the reasons why, you know, boy, he'll make a great governor. Just wish we had somebody on that, you know, with like that kind of broad range of appeal on the stage of Republican contenders in the not too distant future.
Yeah, no kidding. And like you said, it's going to be somewhat anticlimactic tonight, but fear not. There are at least several dozen more debates before voters go to the polls in Iowa. So pace yourselves, everyone. Pace yourselves. On to the bad news now. And this was kind of a potpourri. It just seems like this narrative of the bin Laden raid gets more and more bizarre all the time. Now we find out from Leon Panetta that this was a 40-minute raid, and about 25 minutes of it was blacked out. And now the conjecture is out there that at no point in the Situation Room were they actually watching live video of what was going on there. We're also hearing from some Pakistani authorities, so consider the source, that there were only a couple of bullet holes found in the wall. So that suggests, in addition to the fact that they believe only one of the people in the compound was armed, that there might not have been the firefight that we originally thought. And, of course, following up on the last few days, the president going on 60 Minutes and saying that there won't be photos released, when it seemed at the immediate aftermath of the raid that it was just a foregone conclusion that was going to happen. And then eventually we got to the point where they backed down on that. So what was initially sheer euphoria has turned into a little bit of confusion and disappointment, although obviously the ultimate story is still very good.
Yeah, I think there's just, you know, as you said, a potpourri, three thoughts coming through my mind. The first on the failure to release the photos, or the refusal really to release the photos. I don't like any of the reasoning. I don't like this idea that, well, somehow it'll inflame the Muslim world, because as we're constantly told, bin Laden is not an accurate, you know, representation of the Islamic faith. Show me the extremist Muslim who isn't going to riot because bin Laden's been killed, but will riot because he sees the photo. Show me that guy. And then if you find him, kill him. He's a danger too. What are you kidding me? To the second idea that somehow we can alter the behavior of these extreme folks if we behave nicely enough. If somehow if we do nothing to inflame them, maybe they'll be nice to us or something like that. As we know, these people have hair triggers for rage. I don't understand why we seem to, you know, why we have to go around tiptoeing on eggshells, lest some Yahoo out in Pakistan or Yemen or something like that gets really upset about this. I'm tired of being believed that somehow this is our fault for somehow being antagonistic. And then when the president used this metaphor of spiking the football, Mr. President, I want to spike the football in the faces of these extremists, okay? I want to see a little bit of celebration over this. I'm kind of, you know, I'm struck by this tone that we're supposed to have this somber, mournful atmosphere because bin Laden's dead. Look, this guy killed lots and lots of Americans. All right. Yeah, we were joking earlier in the week that I want this as a coffee table book, and people have been sending me emails saying, I want this as my screensaver. Look, you know, look, I know it's gruesome. You know what, you know, as I've said earlier in the week, 9/11 was gruesome. It's a bloody, messy world out there, and the idea that somehow we're too sensitive to see this sort of thing doesn't you wonder what planet the president is living on, because clearly he's definitely forcing his mentality of decorum on the American people, who I think are really deserving of some long-awaited catharsis of seeing the man who the man who killed so many of our fellow countrymen, you know, bloody. I don't mind seeing his brain matter. I don't mind seeing a hole in his head. The whole aim of our policy, no pun intended, has been to put a hole in his head. So it's extraordinarily frustrating. The constantly changing story. I have no doubt that bin Laden is dead, but when you change the story in, I believe, 24 ways over the first 3 days, and then promptly then refuse to release the photos, that's going to fuel a lot of conspiracy theories around the Middle East. And it just strikes me as a spectacularly wrong-headed policy.
Exactly. And then you had some folks yesterday before the decision on the photos was made, like Scott Brown, saying, I've seen the photo. It's horrible, but he's definitely dead. And a couple other lawmakers said the same thing. Turns out they didn't actually see the real photo. They saw, I don't know if it was the first one that was doctored from the bin Laden photo from the late 90s, where he's got the bullet supposedly in his head, but he's still smiling from the original photo. So apparently what we thought was consensus on this was not necessarily the consensus that really did exist yesterday.
Greg, I'll jump in and make one half defense of the Scott Browns of the world. As soon as Obama said, I'm not refusing the photos, the common joke coming from every corner was, well, I guess we got to wait for WikiLeaks. You know, that, as my brother put it, come on, Assange, make yourself useful. Let's go. Chop, chop. We kind of know, or we strongly suspect, that at some point these photos will leak from somebody in government, giving it to somebody who will put it on their Facebook page or tweet it out. One way or another, this photo is probably likely to come out. So as these hoaxes and these fake photos have been going around the internet, you know, I mean, Scott Brown's not a forensic examiner. He's not going to look at this and say, ah, this doesn't look like a seal. You know, I mean, the idea of somebody being fooled by one of the fake photos doesn't strike me as a, you know, terribly unlikely or terribly something to get that upset about. But, you know, maybe I'm just easily fooled when it comes to Photoshops.
Last thought on this, and this is more an indictment of the press than the president, because the president has every right to go up to ground zero. He probably should, in fact, as a result of this major accomplishment in the war on terror. But given the argument for not releasing the photos about we shouldn't be gloating or spiking the football, as you mentioned, the media seems to be almost exclusively calling this a victory lap as he goes up to ground zero. So which is it, people? Are we striking this mournful and wrong-headed approach in terms of how we react to this? Or are we saying that this is a great moment in this war against radical Islam? I don't know. It seems to be very inconsistent.
Somebody called me a reaction Nazi over this yesterday. You know, if you don't want to celebrate or you don't feel enthusiastic, that's fine. I would simply say get off the backs of everybody who feels like pumping their fist and drinking their, you know, favorite 50-year-old bottle of scotch. You know, I kind of interesting that you tell people certain reactions are okay, and you end up being called a Nazi, Greg. It's I didn't realize that when Congress repealed Godwin's law, but apparently it is. And, you know, we no longer have to watch our tone. Apparently I'm just, you know, saying people, hey, celebrate the death of bin Laden. It's just like killing 6 million Jews, Greg. It's just like that. Not that I'm bitter.
On to number three now, and yeah, I think a lot of our listeners have seen that Situation Room photo of the president and his cabinet and his military advisors supposedly watching the raid. It turns out they really didn't see it live, and 25 minutes out of 40 were blacked out. But whatever picture we saw, it seemed like they were watching something rather intense. And Hillary Clinton had her hand over her mouth. It's hard to tell whether she was nervous or whether that's just she just resting her chin in her hand as she was watching this. But no, her explanation is that she has allergies, and she doesn't really know when in the course of the raid that photo was taken, but she was probably just stifling a sneeze. Jim, didn't look like she was sneezing, and I'm not sure why she would just assume that.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Who's giving her grief over covering her mouth? I mean, this is probably about, you know, I think it was one of the White House officials describing this as the ultimate white-knuckle moment. You know, I'm sure we all would have exceptionally, you know, tense looks on our faces. She, you know, she has apologized. And then the kind of this really weird little excuse. Oh, no, it was my allergies acting up. I was calm as a cucumber throughout the entire thing. You know, it was, I believe it was a Sapphire called Hillary Clinton a congenital liar. Earlier this week, I had observed when the story started changing that even when the truth is awesome, this administration has to put out things that aren't quite true. Even when, you know, no one has any, or at least I can't imagine anyone would have any serious problem with Hillary Clinton having her hand over her mouth watching a raid on Bin Laden with extremely high stakes and a million things that could go wrong, or this made, you know, the highest stakes circumstances imaginable. She has to say, oh, no, I was stifling a sneeze. Relax, Hillary. It's okay. Take it easy.
In this administration, she's really one of the adults in the room as it pertained to Libya.
Well, we thought so.
Anyway, Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. We'll see how the story changes again.
Looking forward to it, Greg. I hope the main central fact of Bin Laden being dead, I hope that stays the same. Minor correction, he got away. Yeah, that's the news we really don't want to hear.
Yeah, as long as the main thrust of the story stays the same, I think we'll be able to deal with it within reason. Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us for the next 3 Martini Lunch.